As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. Mm-hmm. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at afr.net. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and it's the day before Thanksgiving. I hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday morning. I wanted to read to you from Psalm 25, beginning in verse 16. The psalmist says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses." That was the psalmist David, and he was praying to God that the Lord would help him in a difficult time in his life. Well, as we approach the holiday season, this is really the kickoff, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year. So all this holiday time is starting, pretty much starting today. And it's a wonderful time. We sing that song about Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But that's not true for everybody, because the holiday time, although it is a wonderful time in general, it can be very, very difficult for those who are lonely and afflicted, for those who have lost loved ones, for those who are going through a hard time financially, going through a hard time in their marriage, in their family, in some physical way, perhaps dealing with cancer or something like that. And the holidays can be very, very difficult. Well, we had a program at First Baptist Texarkana last Wednesday night. And my good friend and associate pastor, Dr. Chris Schroeder, he talked to the church about surviving the holidays. And I listened to his presentation. It was so good. I said, "Chris, we need to do that for our radio audience." So Dr. Chris Schroeder is in the studio today. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. And I mean, I just want to say that, you know, this time from Thanksgiving to Christmas to New Year's, it seems like we jump really quick to Christmas, but Thanksgiving is a great...
It is.
It's a great holiday.
It doesn't get its due anymore.
No, it doesn't.
It used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I had mentioned, Chris, that, you know, it used to be back in the day.
Yeah.
You went to school until Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Maybe minimum day on Wednesday, but you definitely went to school till Wednesday.
Yeah. And now it's just take the whole week.
Yeah, the whole week. So you've got that whole week for Thanksgiving, and then you've got time, Christmas and New Year's, off for school. It's like, when do they go to school?
Okay, so I haven't been into the stores. I'm assuming they're all decorated.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's been decorated for what?
Since Halloween. Or
really?
Maybe even before. Yeah, but definitely Halloween's kind of the kickoff. Like, once Halloween's done, then it's Christmas. Yeah, so you just jump right over Thanksgiving.
So Debbie's always said she loves Thanksgiving because it's family time without the presents.
Oh, that's me too. That's me. It's without the pressure of the presents, and it's just more laid back. I just think it's a great time for family.
Well, Chris, when you shared with the church about surviving the holidays and dealing with, you know, issues, we tend to think holidays, when surviving the holidays,
yeah,
we should relish the holidays. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us still remember from being in school or being in college that you looked forward to the Christmas break. I'm mm-hmm. off from school, off from studying. I'm back at home. And it just had good memories to it. And family coming in for Thanksgiving. I remember my aunt and uncle would always fly from L.A. where they lived to be with us. And we just look forward to that. It was fun as kids growing up. But for some, they have lost family members, and so it's very acute at the holiday time that those people are not there, that life has changed. Maybe life has kicked me to the curb, circumstances outside of my control. So there's the pressure of, I'm supposed to be joyful, but I'm not. I'm sad.
Yeah, everything is magnified in the holiday season. So you have traditions. I mean, traditions are really thick you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas time, like you talked about your your traditions with family coming in, and it just brings up so many memories. And a lot of these traditions are associated with family. Mm-hmm. So if there's loss in the family, maybe a loved one has passed away, maybe even that year, mm-hmm. or even, you know, months or weeks ago, a loved one has passed away, those traditions are going to be different, and mm-hmm. it's going to be hard. It's going to be just really challenging. Or maybe someone's received a bad report from the doctor, and so it's just different. And so it just seems like in the holiday season, everything is magnified, and there's a special emphasis on family mm-hmm. during the holiday season. And just to be honest, you know, as a Christian, sometimes even more so than Christ, you know, the Christ child mm-hmm. coming on Christmas, we celebrate family. And right. family is very important. So, you know, created by God, it's a very special thing. But sometimes we magnify just family so much.
Well, and it can really alienate those that don't have much
right.
family.
Right.
Singles that, you know, maybe my parents are gone and I don't have siblings, or I'm estranged from my siblings and I'm not married. So what do I do?
Yeah, someone who is waiting to get married and they so desperately want to have family and they want to get married, and then, you know, you're celebrating family and that person wants to have children, wants to have a spouse, but they don't have it yet. Or maybe they've had a spouse and they have children, but maybe they've gone through a divorce, you know, and that is so painful, the rejection of a divorce, and there's a whole stages of grief that you have to go through if you've been through divorce at this time.
Well, you shared with the church your own personal journey, which enables you to really you know, empathize with people going through difficulties, because your holidays uh-huh. from what, however many years
yeah,
ago it was
years.
15
yeah.
years ago
yeah.
was a disaster,
mm-hmm.
and a bomb dropped in your life that you didn't know was coming.
And that was in November, so that was right around Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
So those holidays were not a joyous time. But everyone around me was joyous, it seemed like.
Right.
And then going to church, I loved going to church in that time. It felt like a safe place going to church. But it kind of hit me that in church, a lot was talked about was family. More
right.
than even just, you know, the Christmas story and what Jesus came to do, but a lot was about family. And so it was like a touching a wound.
So,
you know,
for our listeners that don't know, your story was you get a phone call from your wife uh-huh. who had left. You're living in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
She goes, she's from California. You're from California. She mm-hmm. goes home to visit family,
mm-hmm.
takes your kids.
Yes.
Daughter and son.
Yeah.
And then you get a phone call.
Yeah, so she told me that she didn't want to be married anymore, and that she was having an affair. She was having an unfaithful relationship for, I think it had been going on for quite a while, but that was the first I had heard of it. And so just like that, you know, the marriage was over, and I had to deal with it just with a phone call. And so, like I said, that was right around Thanksgiving time.
And she was emphatic. I'm not coming
yeah.
back. I'm not going yeah. to counseling. I'm done.
Yeah, that was it. So marriage was over.
Yeah.
And we had a 3-year-old son at the time and an 8-year-old daughter. And I had been raising the 3-year-old son. His name is Nathan. And she told me, thinking
he was your son.
Yeah. Yeah. And she told me, he's not your son. He, you know, belongs to someone else.
Yeah.
And so it was just a whole bunch of things all at once. And I was actually pastoring a church at the time. So I just felt like I lost everything on one phone call.
Okay, Chris, so that was 15 years ago, and you mm-hmm. were a young guy,
mm-hmm.
relatively young guy, mm-hmm. and your relationship with the Lord is much further down the road than it was 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
What would a Chris Schroeder today, if you put him back in that situation,
uh-huh.
maybe let's say a year before this all blew up,
uh-huh.
would you have been able to save that marriage, or was it not salvageable?
I really believe that every marriage can be, I think most marriages can be saved.
Yeah.
And I think that if you work on a marriage, if both sides are willing to work on a marriage, I believe it can be healed and restored.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the hard part about marriage, is it does take two people.
Right.
And both people have to be willing to work on the marriage. And then when you bring someone else into it,
yeah, that throws everything off.
Yeah.
Do you think from your perspective, you thought, well, family's okay, because you are hard charging in the ministry,
yeah.
and you're a hard worker, and mm-hmm. so you could get tunnel vision, that you were just missing signs that she was mm-hmm. unhappy?
Yeah. I mean, going all the way back, I don't believe it was God's will. I don't think it was someone that I should have been from the first time, should even have been dating, right. even considered dating and knowing that I was called into ministry. Uh-huh. But then on my side, so making that choice was not a good choice. I don't think it was God's will. I don't think it was prayed through enough. Right. And then, just prioritizing ministry, prioritizing being a pastor and all that that requires, and not really prioritizing, you know, marriage and family, mm-hmm. I think is definitely hindsight, something that I, you know, repented of.
Yeah. So when she calls you and tells you that, is she kind of just cold at that point?
Yeah, she's pretty much locked in and very robotic in telling me that, and there's no turning back, because I remember trying to talk her out of it, like, right. oh, we could get counseling, we could work on this,
and she's
just done. Uh-huh. So it was like a really quick statement, no emotion behind it.
So she still has to move all her stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then your daughter, your daughter is...
She literally just left. So like she left stuff.
She didn't come back and get it?
She didn't come back and get anything. She just left stuff. So, and she had both kids with her at the time. So it turned into a massive battle, custody battle, because I fought for my daughter,
right.
who was 8 at the time. And so it turned into a massive, massive struggle that lasted about a year.
Oh, wow. So you were by yourself for a year?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So that first holiday, Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Miserable.
You went to your, what did
I went
you
to
do?
My sister's house. She lived in Illinois. So it was about an 8-hour drive from Kansas City. And so I was there for Thanksgiving, and then I went back to Kansas City, and then I went back there for Christmas. And that Christmas morning, they had a room for me in the basement of their house. And I just remember that Christmas morning, I didn't wake up. Like I slept pretty much all day long.
Yeah.
And they let me sleep. I was thankful for that. They had their family celebration. Uh-huh. But I just wanted that Christmas to be over.
Yeah.
It was miserable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, holidays, everything is just magnified, because it's supposed to be this special, magical time, which it is if you're not going through something like that.
Okay. So, Chris, as a pastor, when that happens, it's like, okay, well, now you're potentially going to be out.
Right.
As your job, mm-hmm. even though, I mean, you didn't bring this about. You didn't want this.
Right.
You're a participant in it, obviously, because mm-hmm. it takes two to tango. It's not like you were the perfect husband and she was the horrible wife. So there's some fault that you have to accept.
Well, I say, like in counseling with couples, I say the marriage problems are both of your fault. You have to take ownership, even if it's 1%, whatever the percentage is, you have to own that for the marriage.
Right.
But the infidelity, the unfaithfulness, that's all on the other person. So you're not responsible for that, but you are responsible for the marriage struggling.
So when you start thinking, okay, because you're a man, you have to think about how am I going to provide for myself and mm-hmm. you know, for my daughter, and I'm probably going to lose my job. That had to go through your mind.
Oh yeah, it wasn't a probable; it was a possible. There was certain people. I was in a different church. I had a church board, and so that church board carries a lot of weight. And then we had what was called a district superintendent, and that person carries a lot of weight. And he put a committee together of pastors to kind of oversee me, kind of see where I was, and they gave me time away, and then they really considered what to do about my situation. And then in the church I was in, they have district superintendent, and then above that they have a general superintendent that like basically oversees the entire denomination.
Super.
I mean, that general superintendent is the top, and they then they had to consider what to do. And so it went through a lot of chain of command.
While they're deciding, you're not preaching, you're not at the church. Mm-mm. So you have a lot of time where it's just you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
which
yeah.
could be bad.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Being alone is hard. I did have really good support around me with family and friends. I just have some really good friends in my life that were very, very supportive. Ironically, when I look back, I feel like I trusted almost too much in other people, because mm-hmm. sometimes when you put too many people around you and you're listening to all these different people, it's good to have that support. That social support really helped me, but you can kind of crowd out the voice of God, mm-hmm. you know? So I think some alone time is good to hear from God, mm-hmm. and then balance that with having good friends and family around you. that just carry you.
Well, you know, Chris, we're up against a break, but you know, you hear people in grief that pour themselves into their job so that they can kind of escape from that. You didn't get to do that.
No.
You had to deal with it just 24/7, basically.
Yeah. Especially when you're pastoring and that's a big part of your life.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about surviving the holidays as we are staring down Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. So we're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. Our topic is surviving the holidays. So today is Wednesday. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day. And it's really the first day of the holiday season. If you get real technical, of course, people are... As Chris, as we said, the students have been in holiday mode since since Friday, last Friday when that was at our last day of school.
Since August.
Okay, so as we left your testimony, your story, your wife tells you, I'm not coming back. I'm with somebody else. Your son is not your son. And you had told me before that your son didn't look anything like you.
Yeah.
So it wasn't. It wasn't much of a stretch for you to say, okay, I could see maybe he's not my son. Mm-hmm. But you never questioned that before, did you?
Well, my wife is a different nationality than I am.
Right.
And so, she was a Hispanic nationality. And so...
He's dark.
And so I thought, okay, dark is...
Dominant.
So that's why.
Yeah. The blonde hair, blue eyes didn't win that battle.
Yeah.
But so once she told you that, then it made sense in your mind that, okay, I could see where he's not.
Yeah.
He's not my child.
Yeah. I mean, also.
Brooklyn is, she looked dark hair and.
Yeah.
She has some
things like me. And sometimes you can have many different thoughts, you know, going through your mind. And so I think it was one of those cases where it's like, okay, now things make more sense. And so when your marriage is struggling, because our marriage was struggling, it just makes a lot more sense now that something else was taking place.
Okay, so I know we're talking about the holidays, but just to delve in this, because a lot of guys they get hit with a haymaker. And they don't know. It's out of left field.
Right.
I didn't know that we were anywhere near calling it quits. Because that's kind of where you were.
No, our marriage struggled a lot. Our marriage struggled. We were married for 14 years, and it was a struggle from the beginning.
Okay.
So it was always rocky. There was little periods. Ironically, the last few months of our marriage, I thought were the best.
Really?
Like that was probably the most harmonious. But I think she was making plans otherwise.
She might have been checked out emotionally, so then she's not fighting with you anymore.
Yeah, but it was a very contentious marriage. It was a very, very rocky marriage. So trying to pastor a church when you have a rocky marriage and you desperately want to have a healthy marriage and you want to talk about topics like marriage and it's important. And so you just praying that God will heal your marriage, and you're constantly trying to work on yourself and how you can be better to make the marriage better. But it's rocky, you know? So it's 14 years of a rocky marriage.
Okay. So that first Thanksgiving and Christmas had to be awful.
Yes.
Just Brooklyn wasn't with you, right?
No, Brooklyn wasn't with me. So I was with my sister, my older sister and her family, but I wasn't around any other family or friends at that time.
Okay. So fast forward to the next holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Now Brooklyn is with you, right?
Yeah.
So what was the pain level for holiday season two versus holiday season one?
That's a great question. So for me personally, and I think this is just a personal thing, I don't think it's all the same for everyone. My personality is when I go through something hard, I go deep, deep down into really deep, deep grief. And so that's where I was. And I think the next Christmas was really good.
Okay.
So I knew that you gotta, when you're going through something really hard, you've got to just kind of suck it up and just go through that deep pain. I remember even thinking to myself, should I just kind of try and have a good attitude over this and kind of, you know, skate over this and just, or should I really go deep down and really feel the pain and really just go through it hard? And that's the better way to grieve, is just really, really feel it deep as you can, feel that pain really, really bad, but it doesn't last as long. That depth isn't as long if you go deep, deep down. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of the illustration of, like, you know, going through a tunnel. You know, you go through that tunnel, it's dark, dark, dark. You can't go over the tunnel. You got to go through it. Mm-hmm. And so Christmases after that have been, you know, much, much better.
So is that, you know, for some people, when they go through something traumatic, and it would have been much easier for you to get a phone call that your wife had gotten hit in a car accident and is dead.
Uh-huh.
Because there's no rejection in there.
Yeah.
That's just, okay, this is a tragedy.
Yes.
But when someone says, I don't want to be married to you anymore, that's a rejection of you.
Yeah.
And so for some people, they can be like, well, Thanksgiving and Christmas are forever ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Because this, it always reminds me of this pain.
Mm-hmm.
How did that not happen that way for you?
I mean, because life is so much better now. Life is so much different. And so it's actually the opposite. So now, for example, this Thanksgiving, I'm going back to, we're going to visit Illinois. We're going to visit my sister where I was when all this happened.
Right.
Same house, same everything.
Does it bring back those memories?
It brings back memories, but it's a good memory. Like, wow, how far God has taken me and like what God took me through. So it gives me a tremendous perspective of, wow, I can't believe I was that down and now God, how God's turned the situation around. So mm-hmm. it's really a more of a joyous thing, thinking about how far God's brought me from that low, low point. When you're at that low point, you're like, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
And now the hindsight, you're like, wow, I can't believe God did that.
Well, as it, scripture says, you know, with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. When you're grieving and when you're hurting, boy, a day seems like a long time.
Mm-hmm. And you have to stay present. You have to stay in the moment. You can't let your mind go off. I'm a futuristic person, so I like to have vision and think about what's going to happen next. You have to force yourself to stay present and basically just get through each day.
Right.
You know, and then just start stacking up days. And it is like waves, because sometimes it feels like when you're going through something really hard, some days it feels like, okay, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be all right. And then other days that wave hits and you're like, man, there's no way. This is just devastating.
Okay, how about the feelings of bitterness and anger toward mm-hmm. God? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously anger toward her
mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. she's wrecking your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to keep self out of it. You know, you want to say, I'm a selfless person. I don't care what happens to me. But you're a human being. You do care. It's like, okay, I may lose my ministry because of this, and you're taking away my kids, and now I'm going to have to fight you in court to get my daughter, my biological daughter.
I've never really been mad at God ever in my life. One time I was mad at God in my life, but not about this situation. And I see people turn on God so quickly. I think that's a horrible thing to do.
Right.
I mean, one of my spiritual gifts is faith, so I never turn on God.
Right.
But definitely mad at her, and definitely had to battle that unforgiveness, you know, the anger towards her and her choices, and not let that bitterness
and
take
then
root.
Toward the guy, because you didn't know who the guy was.
The guy, honestly, not enough respect to even be angry at him. Just kind of like, not just.
He's like a non-entity.
Inconsequential to me, honestly.
Right.
I mean, it sounds cruel, but I really just don't have enough respect towards him to even be angry towards him.
Yeah.
Well, mainly just kind of disgusted.
Yeah. Well, when you see, you know,
and she's still with that guy. So I've never had any kind of conversation with him or anything like that, but that relationship is continuing today. They never got married, but they're still together.
Okay. You know, Chris, we see this all the time. You know, people have something happen to them. They do get mad at God. They get bitter. Or they get bitter at another person. I maintain that all bitterness eventually goes back to God, because God's over everything.
Now, forgiveness is one that people have a lot of misunderstanding, misconceptions. I think I probably have in the past. People think they're over things, or they've forgiven a lot sooner than they really have. So there was times where I thought I had arrived at forgiveness, like I felt like I had forgiven her, and then she would push a button again. And then it's like,
just
no.
Just explode.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not there. And then I'd be disappointed that I wasn't further along.
Right.
And that she still had that power to push those buttons.
And she did that on purpose?
Probably. Uh-huh. So we'd have this, you know, and I would feel like I was at a better spot, and then it would be contentious again. So okay. Forgiveness is, and I think forgiveness is an everyday process over and over and over again.
Just curious, did she ever apologize?
No.
So if I had her sitting in that seat and I asked her about her marriage, what would she say to justify her actions?
I don't know what she would say today, but I mean, I did have a conversation with her.
Because she's got to blame you, right? She's not going to say, oh, it's all my fault.
I did have conversation with her like a year or years later, and there was a lot of regret. There was a lot of remorse. There was a lot of self-pity. Uh-huh. And that's where I first really learned about worldly sorrow. I learned it from experience before I even saw it in the scripture.
Yeah.
From, you know, 2 Corinthians 7.
Right.
So I saw it from her, and it was really sad and really pathetic, like her life that she had now
chosen. Right.
But it wasn't repentant. There was no repentance. Like she used to go to church. She used to be really, you know,
right.
I thought she was a believer.
Right.
And now there's no, I don't
no
know,
evidence,
no hunger for God. There's no church attendance, nothing.
You know, Chris, Sunday I talked about the two thieves on the cross, either side of Jesus.
Yeah.
And this isn't original with me. I heard it somewhere, but it's so true. So the thief that was hurling abuse at him, he said, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Uh-huh. And then the other guy prays in faith, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And I think it was my pastor, Damon Shook, that said that that unrepentant thief wanted to be saved from where he was.
Yeah.
He didn't like his circumstances, but not from who he was. And so it's kind of worldly sorrow. It's hey, I don't like this.
Yeah.
But I'm not repenting.
Yeah.
And so that describes a lot of people.
Yeah.
They know that they've messed up their lives, but they're not taking responsibility like, oh God, have mercy on me.
Yeah. Well, and she came from a real broken family, a really what I call like survival mode in her life, you know, very different upbringing than I had. And a lot of broken families in her, like her relatives, a lot of broken families, a lot of men that aren't, you know, not godly men.
Right.
And so kind of this was more like what she, you know.
What she knew.
What she knew.
Yeah. So how did your parents handle that?
I mean, they were supportive. They were encouraging. They're not super flowery, encouraging people. I mean, they were definitely there and available. And I mean, I remember breaking down in my mom's arms, like, you know, just feeling that emotion.
You went to California to be with them?
Yeah, I saw them at periodic times. Mm-hmm. And then I remember my dad one time saying, okay, it's time to move on. it's time to get over this.
Yeah. Moses, my servant is dead. Yeah. Now therefore arise in Joshua. So, Chris, with people as they face the holidays and they've had this trauma, whatever it is, you know, I think of our dear friend Rick Ferguson and Ada. You know, you took Ada's place as the counselor here at the church when you came on board.
We've had a lot of deaths. I'd say within the last few months of, you know, especially women, but we have a lot of men who are widows now.
Right.
Yeah.
How do they deal with surviving the holidays?
I mean, you got to have expectations that are realistic. That honestly, this Christmas is going to be hard. It's going to be hard. So that expectation has to be there. And I always try and ask them, how's your family doing with you? Like, are you getting support? And I think in a lot of these cases, they are. They're getting support from their family. Mm-hmm. But I think they have to expect that it's going to be really challenging.
Do you think it's fair to say that because women are more relational just by nature and men tend to silo, that when a man loses his wife, he's kind of lost in space. I mean, he's just out there.
Yeah.
She was my tether for everything.
Yes.
Because normally it's the wife that has everything, you know, brings the family together. She's the hub of the wheel as it relates to family, and the husband is not.
Yeah. I also want to say, like, with the holidays, I think this is a good time to, like, what I tried to do in that Christmas was focus on what the real meaning is. I mean, we say that, but when you've lost your family and even your occupation, you're left with nothing else. And so I think it is a really good time to focus in on what is Christmas all about.
What it's about, yeah.
You know, what did Jesus come to accomplish?
Yeah.
You know, so really focusing on the true meaning, because you've been stripped away of everything else, you know, and all the commercialism of Christmas, none of that matters.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting, Chris. We make a big deal about Christmas, and it is a big deal, and it is a good news of a great joy, you know, for today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. But there's nothing in the Bible that tells us we're to celebrate the birth of the Savior. Mm-hmm. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, tells us, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So Easter and you know, the cross and the empty tomb, that is something that we celebrate every time we partake of the Lord's Supper. But there's really nothing that says, hey, you need to celebrate mm-hmm. the coming of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say you can't.
Right.
But it doesn't, there's not a command to do that.
Yeah, I know that. It's kind of ironic, but I really dug into, you know, you have truth and grace and you want both, but I really dug into truth more than even grace. Like when I went through that, I really clung to any kind of truth, any kind of theological truth, even if it was hard to hear,
mm-hmm.
I found myself attracted to that. So you would think it would be more like on the, after you've been through a divorce, you'd be more on the grace side, but I was like so strong dug into truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps. It gives you an anchor.
Well, I think you have a great testimony, a great ministry, and one of the strengths of your ministry as a counselor is that you've been there.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody, I mean, your story resonates with people,
mm-hmm.
and even to the point where it's like, well, what I'm going through is bad, but it wasn't as bad as what you went through.
Yeah, I'm counseling a guy today that his wife just recently left him, and he doesn't have kids, and he doesn't have a pastor, but his wife left him.
Right.
And so I have this strong empathy for him and what he's going through.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend and ministry partner, Dr. Chris Schroeder. And we're talking about surviving the holidays. As the holidays are upon us, a wonderful time, but can be a very, very difficult time for many people. We want to be sensitive to what people are going through. And we want this program today to encourage, to minister, and for God to just pour out his comfort and grace. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder. Our subject is surviving the holidays. What do you do when you're looking down the barrel of the holidays, so to speak, if we can use that terminology, and you're in a bad place? You're in a bad place emotionally. You have experienced tremendous loss, and you're grieving. How do you get up for Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and you see people together, and you see, Chris, so many movies, the Hallmark movie, the Christmas movies, the boy meets girl, they fall in love, it's
happily
magical, it's snow, and and you just say, well, my life's nothing like that.
Right.
And one of the things you brought up when you preached on this last week is life's not a Hallmark movie.
Right. Right.
Life is real.
Right.
And, you know, I had a friend of mine, and I remember he was going through a terrible time in his marriage and an affair and that his wife had. And I told him, I said, listen, one of the things I noticed about you, you have a tendency to put on rose-colored glasses when you're looking at your life.
Yes.
I said, we want to look with eyes of faith, but you have to see things as they are, not as you want them to be.
Yeah. I remember Charles Swindoll telling the story in his book about attitude, you know, that life is 90% how you respond to what happens to you.
Yeah, 10% what happens, 90% how you respond to it.
That's it. And he said there was this man that he kept coming in contact with, and he would say, like, how are you doing? And the guy would go, fantastic, fantastic. And the guy's life was falling apart, but he still had that same answer.
Right.
But finally, he came to reality of my life is not fantastic. So living in reality of what is crucial. I mean, coming out of denial, we always say that's the first step to any kind of growth, any kind of recovery. But when you're going through grief, you're going through death of a loved one, divorce, some sort of sickness, the reality is life is hard. Life is difficult. It's not fantastic at that point. And that's okay.
Right.
You know, God can meet you right there.
Well, you use the illustration of running a marathon.
Yeah.
And how, you know, you ran two.
Yeah.
The first one went well.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, you experienced that hitting the wall.
Yes.
At what, mile 16 or
something like that? Something like that, yeah. I mean, that thing, that's a real thing when you hit the wall. And it's not just a mental thing that you could just overcome this and think yourself to greatness. I mean, you physically have nothing left. If you haven't trained, if you're not prepared, you're done.
Yeah, your body just doesn't want to move
anymore,
right?
Body's done, yeah.
You know, not to be gross, but you see some people that run these marathons and they lose all control of their bodies.
Yeah.
And it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so wanting to finish.
Yeah.
And we've seen people in the Olympics where they basically are almost crawling in because they don't want to not finish.
But it's all about the training. Now, you can have a bad day. You can train and just have a bad day. But if you've trained, then you're ready to face anything. And I think that's just such a great analogy for the Christian life. You know, if you've filled yourself with God's word and you spend time with him and you go to church and you have Christian people around you, you're prepared for tough things that come your way.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that in the counseling office when people haven't been spending time with God, they're not in his word, they go through something difficult, they have no resource to pull from. And then vice versa, I've seen people go through horrific things, but they know God's word, they spend time with him, and they're able to get through it, and you know, they're able to persevere.
Well, people talk about Job a lot, you know, when, and your dad said, Chris, read Job.
Yeah, read Job. It's like, I don't advise that if you're going through something difficult. I think before you go through something difficult, read Job. I recommend more like Psalms, more like worship music.
Right. Well, you talked about that with the music. I think music, you know, God in Psalm 22, God inhabits the praises of his people. I think that's critical because obviously depression is going to want to flood your soul.
Mm-hmm.
When the bottom drops out, the devil moves in and he's going to want to blow the lights out spiritually and just fill your heart with darkness and gloom and that. The music really helps, the praise music. I remember when Debbie and I were going through a hard time some years ago, we would leave praise music on, even just soft in the den, 24 hours a day, just to fill the home with praises.
I think worship is crucial. I think getting out and moving, being outside, depending on how cold it is, but getting outside and moving physically, if you just sit there, it's just not good.
Right.
You know, moving is good. And worship music, and you got to take care of yourself physically.
Yeah.
You know, I always think of Romans 12:1 says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. It starts with the body, you know. So when you're not getting sleep and you're not eating right, it's really hard to battle grief.
And I know Christians are, you know, a lot of them, well, I'm not going to take any medicine or whatever, but sometimes you need to have that. You know, it's like if you have a high blood pressure, you're not opposed to taking some medicine for that.
Yeah. You want to be careful that you don't become addicted to it.
Right.
But it's prescribed to you for a reason, you know, and it's not a depression that's come from nowhere. It's called situational depression. So it's depression for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to get back to square one. You're not going to be able to get back to where you were unless you're getting sleep.
Right.
You know, that will just complicate the issue.
Yeah. I mean, you can lose your mind if you don't get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I love this quote that you use from Zig Ziglar. This is not the time to be strong. It's the time to be human.
Mm-hmm. And that's Zig Ziglar, one of the most positive, you know, optimistic people you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm. I love that because it's like, yeah, I do need to. It's okay as a Christian. It's okay to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if something happens that hits you emotionally, you lose a loved one, you know, and God forbid you lose a child. I mean, I think that's got to probably be the hardest. And people don't, you know, you get through it, but you don't ever get over it per se. I mean, it's always a hole in your heart. But if you have to try and be super Christian when you're dying inside, it's better to be honest.
Yeah, and I think you were talking about the difference between men and women, husbands and wives. Seems like husbands have a harder time with this. Men have a harder time with this because you ask them how they're doing and they've just lost their wife a couple weeks ago. I'm doing pretty good. I'm hanging in there.
Right.
No, you're not.
No.
You know, just be honest. It's okay to hurt.
Well, you know, I think about when David grieved over Absalom,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Absalom was a lot his fault
mm-hmm.
because David was a terrible dad,
mm-hmm.
a great Christian, but a terrible dad, which is hard to get your mind around.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when he grieved over his death, mm-hmm. Joab said, hey, you're going to lose the kingdom if you don't go out there and show your gratitude to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, there's sometimes where you have to put on a happy face and get out there because
right.
it's time,
mm-hmm.
you know, to lead. But that had to be so difficult for him.
I think it's kind of like you reap what you sow. So if you've been pouring into people, like you've been doing ministry, you've been ministering to people and you've been loving on people, now you're the one hurting. You're the one on the stretcher. So allow them to love you. Allow them to encourage you and pour into you just like you've poured into them.
Right.
But you definitely can't do it alone. You need people around you that will help you. Basically, you know, pick you up and carry you.
And, you know, I think about that from a minister's perspective. We have to watch out for pride.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, hey, I minister to you. You don't minister to me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm up here, you're down there, you know, which is totally false.
Yeah.
We're all, the ground's all level at the foot of the cross,
mm-hmm.
and we need one another. But I think some guys do have trouble receiving.
Oh, no doubt.
From people.
Yeah, and I would be at the top of that. Pride is a big one. But I did notice that when I was going through that, people were getting a lot out of ministering to me. I could tell that they were actually feeling blessed by being able to, you know, reverse the ministry, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I know you used, as you preached to the congregation last week, you used Philippians, the book of joy. And, you know, Philippians 4:13 is a favorite that a lot of people have.
Yeah.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's misquoted
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't mean that I can kick a 70-yard field goal. You know, I heard people say that, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so I can get out there and win the big game or whatever. But it's talking about going through difficulties.
Yeah.
And it's like in any and every circumstance,
mm-hmm.
if I abide in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
he gives me the power to handle any situation that I experience. I can still have joy, which is deeper than happiness,
because mm-hmm.
happiness is dependent on circumstances, and I can still trust him.
Yeah.
And I can still feel his peace, a peace that surpasses understanding.
Yeah, Paul talks about before that, he talks about contentment, which I just think is so profound,
mm-hmm.
because to learn the secret of contentment, Paul says, that inner joy, like you said, more than just happiness, circumstantial,
mm-hmm.
but that deep down joy,
mm-hmm.
then he goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is writing this while, you know, cuffed to a
right.
guard.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, he's in the worst circumstance, and Paul endured horrific things.
Right.
But he learned how to be content no matter what the situation. That's profound.
You know, Chris, as you think about it, so How different is your life if what happened 15 years ago never happened?
Right. Right.
The depth of your Christian life is nowhere near what it is.
Yeah, it's hard to tell someone that when they're going through grief, but it is true. Like, they'll be able to go to a depth that other people can't go to. One author that I really like, he passed away maybe about a year ago, Norman H. Wright. He did a lot of pastoral counseling mm-hmm. things, and man, he tells his testimony. He's lost so many people in his life. He's been through so many horrible things.
Okay, so you went to a conference just a couple of months ago, and you mm-hmm. said that the guy, you thought, picked a bad breakout session because this guy, and his testimony just blew you out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
What was that guy's name?
Oh, man. I lost the...
But his story was he lost his wife.
He lost his wife. He's lost a child. He's had major health issues. He's been through...
He lost half his tongue or something
like
that?
Yeah, he lost his tongue. I mean, he's lost so many things. He's been through so many horrible things. But you could tell, you know, you can see people that are truly empathizing. They're not just telling you the textbook answers, but they're actually speaking from experience.
Right.
And they're able to go to that deep well that other people
right.
haven't been able to go to.
Well, that's why I've always maintained Johnny Erickson Tada is one of my all-time heroes in the mm-hmm. Christian faith, because she's had to live out suffering.
Oh, yeah.
For decades.
And the thing I like about her is she's so real about it. She does not sugarcoat it mm-mm. at all. I mean, she talks about how it's hard each day just to get through each day. And we see her as like a hero of the faith, a giant in the faith. But she's really candid about the struggle. I think no one talks about suffering as well as her.
Right. And, you know, there's just no way around it. And when you're, you know, emotional pain mm-hmm. and physical pain, they're different.
Mm-hmm.
And we can take some things that help with the physical pain. The emotional pain is there. You know, people try and drown their sorrows with alcohol or some kind of drugs, but that doesn't ever work. It just gets worse.
I mean, I would contend that physical pain, and I would say like relational pain, is worse.
Right, I agree.
But the physical pain, especially when it's chronic, they all overlap.
It messes with your head.
Yeah, it gets to your mind. So they're all connected. So, I mean, Joni Erickson Tada, just the pain that she's had to experience, that affects her emotionally, and, you know, fighting to not allow it to hurt her faith. It mm-hmm. actually grows her faith.
Well, I had her on the program a couple of years ago, and she was saying, you know, I came from an athletic family.
Mm-hmm.
I was athletic.
Mm-hmm.
She said, my parents didn't know what to do with mm-hmm. you have a quadriplegic daughter now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody knew what to do. And that's back, she's been in the wheelchair for 50 something years.
Well, especially when you've had something, like say someone that's become blind or deaf, something that they've had and now they don't, or they used to be an athlete and now they're in a wheelchair.
Right.
That's loss, that's huge loss.
Right.
You know?
Well, she talks a lot about Philippians 3, to know the fellowship of his sufferings.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what you said, she said, you know, in the name it, claim it, mm-hmm. you know, prosperity gospel circles, they never talk about
mm-hmm.
suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord talks a lot about suffering.
Yeah, so when you're going through hard times, when you're going through something difficult, that prosperity gospel isn't gonna help.
No.
But the preachers, the teachers, the authors that are going to take you to that depth, and God's word that goes deep, that's going to help you.
Well, we've been talking about surviving the holidays. And, you know, Chris, sometimes using that word, we say, well, that's not a very hope-filled word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a truthful word. But here's the good news. God wants you to survive and thrive.
Yeah.
And so it's not just, this is your lot in life. You're always going to just have to fight for survival.
Mm-hmm.
There is joy on the other side.
Well, I mean, Ecclesiastes talks about seasons. So you might be in a season of grief, but I know it helped me a lot we call it play the script. So play out the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I know this Christmas is going to be difficult, but there's going to be good, really good ones to come.
Right.
And I'm going to feel God's presence like never before. You know, when you go through those really deep, dark times, you can feel God's presence. He's closer than a brother in those really challenging times.
Right. I still remember I listened to this funeral service that E.V. Hill did for his wife, you know, E.V. Hill in California.
Yeah.
And he used Job, and he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And he said, you know, we love it when the Lord gives, but we have to trust him when he takes away.
Yeah.
Because our families don't belong to us. They belong to him. Our health doesn't belong to us. Everything we have belongs to him.
Yeah.
And so we need to just say, all right, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't even like it, but I trust you.
Yeah. And he will meet you right there in your grief. He'll be so real to you and so give you the strength that you need.
Amen. Well, Chris Schroeder has been my guest today, and Chris is a dear, dear friend, and I am so grateful how the Lord brought our families together and brought our ministries together. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And no matter what happens, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. God bless you.